Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. Today's guest is Ryan McKay from Odro. And we're delighted to have him on the podcast. Good chat with Ryan. He runs a really successful software company that helps recruiters make more placements. We talked a little bit about that, but more, I had a couple of questions I wanted to figure out in using their product on how I could get the most out of it. One was, how can I use it to effectively run retained search in a better way? And the other element was, how can I do it when prospecting new clients? So as we, for a better word, speccing resumes out, how can we use Odro to do that better? And then what metrics should we use to manage consultants who we employ to do that? So two very different methods I wanted to get to grips with, and he was great in helping me figure that out. So now I'm going to go take that and implement it, and hopefully we'll get some good results from it. So good chat with Ryan, and really excited to have him on the podcast. Odro are a sponsor of the podcast, so big thanks to them. Our other sponsors, we have Rich Gibbard and his marketing company, who's helping my business at the moment, both in our scale business and in our leadership network, and hopefully in the RecDirect business in time to come. Louise Archer from Retrained, she's now helping us in our scale business. I used her in the RecDirect business, managed to sell a few retainers more than normally, which is great, but it really helped me hone in our value proposition and what's like, when you storyboard it all down on who we are and what we've done and how we go about things, I think it just made more sense to me in terms of our value and then to our clients on what really matters. Other people we use in our business, we use the legendary Backdoor Barry to go chase after all those people who decide not to pay our fees, which you wouldn't believe. There's quite a lot. I give everybody a fair shot. I make fair offers, especially if they're in need. But I don't dance around. If they're not playing ball and they're not being fair and it's not reasonable, go straight to Barry. I never think about it. He's always got us paid. Always got us paid. So, yeah, shout out to him. Another person we use in our business is Andy Hallett, who is a part-time marriage counselor with myself and Charlotte, helping us come to the right decisions, because normally we have different objectives. She's more detail oriented, a bit more big picture, tries to bring some of that together. It was really helpful in the launch of our scale business. So big shout out to Andy, who's also my business partner in the Lockdown Leadership Network. Our other sponsorship on the podcast is Vincere. And we have been partnered with them for a while now, and they've really helped our business. Our team love using it. It's their favorite system. And long may it continue. And another shout out to CloudCop, our phone system. So that was a lot, but that's who we use. That's kind of the nuts and bolts of how things have ran over the last while. And it's great. So I'm really grateful to anybody who can help our business move on. And I hope on the eve of lockdown, you're all taking care of yourselves. You're physically, mentally, you know, financially, whatever it takes. Yeah, mind yourselves and enjoy the rest of the day. Army with harmony. Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. We are live with the one and only Ryan McCabe. How are you, sir?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Just having a bit of a Trump party tonight. Make recruitment great again, you know.
No comment. It's close, man. That's what we were saying before. It's close. At this point in time, it's 2-3-8, 2-13. No one knows which way it's going to go.
Yeah. A lot of secret Trump fans out there.
I'm sure there is. I mean, he's done a lot of good things. He's done a lot of idiotic things as well. It's just whether the risk is worth the reward.
From us in the recruitment world, you have to think, who's going to give out the biggest amount of money either, like, you know, those amazing loans that you kind of don't really have to pay back to. And loads of our clients got them. Loads of did really well out of that. And then what that means is they're allowed to grow. But will the Democrats do that as well? Maybe. Who's going to shut us down? Who's going to shut down the country, or more likely to shut it down in the new year? All these things I'd be weighing up, but.
Well, it's too late now. You can't cast the vote. No. Can't cast the vote. You don't live there. Unless you're in Gary B's office, like you told me.
Of course I am.
And that's actually where you are.
Gary, two sugars. all right. So what else is happening? UK lockdown as of tomorrow.
England lockdown as of tomorrow. Yeah, because we're in Scotland. So to be fair, your tier three, which is your lockdown now, we've been in that for... No, sorry, that's not true. Your tier three, we've been in that for a month. And Manchester was only put in last week, and then he's called the whole lockdown. We'll follow suit. Nicola Sturgeon, if she had the funding, we were told no furlough if you lock down. So we were like, oh, okay, then. Well, we can't lock down. But she was really, really dead set on locking down.
Yeah.
But now there is furlough, it's like, and everyone up here knows, as soon as we can clarify that we're getting furlough, the whole place is shut down.
All in all, if I was running a video platform, I think I would have been quite excited that officers. I'd be like, wait a minute. Tell me this. Give me some stats on like the adoption of users and stuff from the first time we went into lockdown.
So we get a head start on it a little bit because we have customers in Hong Kong. And we noticed their usage just spiking. And we're like, what's going on? And I mean, it seems silly now because how big coronavirus and COVID is. Back then, it was like, oh, there's this virus thing in China. That was it. So we were like, oh, wow, that's helping our... I mean, at that point, it was like, can we go into companies over there and help them out? But obviously, it spread really quickly. In February, we had 650,000 minutes of usage across Audro in the month. Yeah. And in March, we had 6.3 million minutes across the same customer base.
That's insane.
It was insane, yeah. So, and it's just steadily grown from there, if I'm honest with you. Like, there's been a lot of high usage. Again, we don't have any other way to operate right now. Don't get me wrong, it's good. Like, from an Audro point of view, it's great that people are... It's sped up digital transformation. I think that's the kind of key phrase. It's not, you know, all of a sudden made everyone go out and buy stuff because everyone's being tight and frugal, which is the right thing to do. You know, make sure you're making the right investments. But it's definitely sped up the move to video more than we could have ever done ourselves. As an industry, I don't just mean as Audro. I mean, any video, you know, we couldn't have made this happen any quicker. And the good news for us is everyone's saying the same things. It's here to stay. I used to go to London once, even twice a week from Glasgow. Now it's going to take me, not a lot, but it's going to make me think twice about, do I really need to go? Can I just do that bit on video and go down once? And, you know, you can't have dinner.
That's how good the beers are going to be lined up.
It's literally why you're going to go. You're going to go for the social stuff, the business stuff.
Yeah.
You know, 80% of it can be done online without a second thought now.
I can imagine running a recruitment firm, the hardest bit when you're putting on any tool is getting the recruiters to bloody use the thing and to do it. Has this sped up that? Like, what type of advice do you have for owners that recently kind of get into video? The recruiters are now working from home. Is there any type of, like, I don't know, management techniques or anything like that that seem to work?
From getting people to use video?
Yeah.
I've been really honest. Like, if you're not using, I don't just mean Audro, if you're not using video at all, what are you doing? And I mean that, it's like, what can they possibly be doing? If you're doing your interviews all over the phone, your clients aren't going to believe that you've done your work. If you're not meeting your clients over video, you're missing an important time you can build some form of rapport, you know, to get face-to-face, in quotes, with the client. But that's your only option. Everyone is. Like, every time we speak to hundreds of agencies a week now, that they don't use Odro. They were introducing ourselves to, and everyone's using something. They're using Zoom or Teams. That's it. So our job, if I'm being really honest, changed from, hey, you should use video, to, hey, you should use our video.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different message. Yeah. And it's okay, because 90% of it's the same. The beautiful thing for us is the first step, getting them onto videos, kind of been done. I've not come across anyone that said, yeah, we don't use Zoom or Teams or Odro or anything. We just do it all over the phone. It's not happened to any of our guys yet.
You had a post on the difference between Zoom and Odro, and you must get asked this all the time. But if you were to like give us just the couple of bullet points on that would be good.
So, well, let's imagine that Zoom. Let's imagine that Odro's live video tool does it was the exact same as Zoom. Let's just imagine those two are the exact same, right? Okay. So we do live interviews just like Zoom does, but we also do one-way interviews. Zoom doesn't do that. So we can type in questions, send it to a client, send it to a candidate, thousands of candidates, the same link, and they just click it, the questions come up, they record their answers and send them back. Zoom doesn't do that. Zoom also doesn't let you record a personalized video message on someone's LinkedIn or email and send it through to them in a couple of clicks. You can't do that. We do recruiters right-to-work checks. So that same one-way video, at the end of it says, would you like to add a document? And you can request or demand passport, driving license, visa, all that sort of stuff. They take a picture on their phone, hit submit, and it sends across. They don't do that. Zoom doesn't let you shortlist. So you can't have a portal where your clients click on the link and they see all the candidate videos, all the candidate CVs and resumes, all these right-to-work checks, their documents, references, everything's in the one place and it's branded for your client. And you also don't see Odro Producer. So Odro Producer allows you to add subtitles and logos and slides and all sorts of stuff to any video. You could even, if I'm being cheeky, you could even record the Zoom video and use Odro to add subtitles to it.
Asking you that question is like asking Donald Trump, why should he build a wall? You know? You could just grandstand all day on that.
Give me it. I don't actually mind, because, you know, I'll be honest, like, I would say half of our clients have Odro and Zoom or Teams. Like, you can use both. I mean, we don't say you can have 50 people on an Odro. You can. You can have up to 10. I mean, you can actually have as many as you like, but we recommend keeping it to like sort of 4, 5, 6. But, you know, so Zoom and Teams have their place, but it only does 10% of what Odro's actually built for.
All right, there we go. Before we jump on, you mentioned that you've been flat out some of your onboarding for your own team. Talk to me about how you build like a really great sales culture. Like, has it developed over a long time? What does that look like when somebody joins you?
If I'm being honest, it definitely has developed over a long time. I think I'm big on values now, and I never was. Like, I used to think values were like fluffy and, let's you know, we'll take care of each other and have them up in the wall and all that sort of stuff. I used to think, come on, that doesn't drive money. That doesn't drive results. Like, how do you grow with that sort of stuff? And then you realize, I think, that it all comes down to who you hire. So we check, it goes right back to literally the advert that we write for who we're looking for. Like, all this thing about building a good sales team goes right back to who you actually attract into the business. So I learned really early on that we had to show off what we were like. People didn't know what kind of culture it was, what type of behaviors we wanted to drive. So we started documenting it and putting it out on LinkedIn. And then when we're interviewing people, we make sure that they are buying into the same values that we buy into and that we kind of, you know, how we behave, because that is, in essence, what builds a culture. Actually, see this thing around my neck? I don't know if this is audio or video, but this thing around my neck is like a lanyard that we just, for where our kind of passes are. But all of our values are actually on these, which is like, take the pain early, I've got your back. But the main ones are authenticity, energy, and trust. We did this because we looked at the most successful people in the business and worked out, why are they so good? That's where it all started. It's like, why are you good? Why do I like you? Why do I trust you? Why do I just know you're going to get the job done? And then we tried to bottle it. So I think the first part of building a successful sales culture is hiring the right people in the first place, not in terms of skills and experience and all that sort of stuff. That's obvious. But about, are they the right type of people? Are they driven by the same things? You can have 20 money-hungry people and that's fine. I think that's the key. And then after that, again, a lot of our high performance and our sales culture is actually not orchestrated by me. It's orchestrated by Dougie, who runs the whole sales and success team.
He's surprisingly tall.
He is surprisingly tall, isn't he? I thought that when I first met him.
I thought he was a little person on screen, and then I stood next to him. I was like, oh, I'm the little person. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he looks good now as well. He runs a lot, keeps himself fit, and that makes him look taller, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's...
He's the future, is he?
Well, he's a present in my life. He's running the sales, you know, the kind of sales outreach and stuff just now. And I think the big thing that we worked together on was trying to write down what was good. That was the whole basis of it. What we were really bad at before was when I brought Dougie in, for example, and onboarded him, he was the first sales guy. So he sat next to me and I said, this is how you do a demo. No, and nowhere was it written down. There was one page, one time, yeah, bullet points, but it was literally, this is how you do the demo. And they would go, right, okay. And he would go away, fuck it up, come back, do it right, go away, fuck up, come back, and eventually get better and better. But then we've tried to bring in someone else. It wasn't written down. So we would say, sit next to me and Dougie and watch how you do a demo. And then they would come up with their own way of doing it as a mash between the two of us. And it would just dilute the more and more it went down the chain. Yeah. It got to the point where a demo would come on the website and I'd be like, right, move, I'm taking this. And you can't scale like that. So that led us to Playbooks. And that's been the kind of cornerstone of how we've built a good sales team, a high-performance sales team. It's been, it writes down how you do the job, how we do a demo, how you manage a post, you know, demo process, how you do prospecting, how you can, and then it bleeds into values on, you know, why we should be educating the customers on what our best customers are doing and all that sort of stuff. And that culminates in a 160-page sales playbook. If anyone is looking to start building a team, I would recommend, or even just building an existing team, the Mark Roberge book, Sales Acceleration Formula. Okay. It's the guy that started HubSpot. So he was a developer, and they only had a sales job. He knew the guys, and they were like, "Well, we don't need another developer, but you can kind of do sales for us." I've never sold a thing in my life. Mm. So he looked at it through the eyes of a developer, and he's like, "Right, okay, what have I got to play with? What's the variables? What's my problems I'm trying to solve? What links to what? What can I improve? If I improve that by 10%, what does that do?" So we learned a lot from that. I think there's three things that have influenced our sales culture. Never split the difference. Is a book I recommend. We buy everyone a joint. Yeah. We buy everyone a copy of Never Split a Difference. Challenge Your Sale, Matt Dixon, about teaching clients things that you can be much more valuable to your prospects if you teach them things that they would really value knowing, and the Sales Acceleration Formula. If you could just mash those three together, you've got Audra's sales culture.
Very good. Let me ask you a question. I launched a startup business in Ireland. It's headed up a really good recruiter there. And we're figuring out, she has an existing niche, but we're figuring out another one. And I've engaged with Rich Gibbard from Recbound. He's a marketing automation guy. He does more than that, but I'm using him for that. And it's working quite well. So to date, we're quite early on with a lot of it. So we've picked out that we want to do some form of tech sales within a niche, within the East Coast of the US, likely going to be data, cyber, probably something within that, certain size of company, all the rest, done all the identifications, done the initial outreach, and we're getting results back in. And I suppose the next bit then is, let's go get the proper candidates, let's go get... And then present them. So what I want to do is make the most of Audra in the next stage, because I've been hearing things on the grapevine that some people are having tremendous results from pitching candidates for new business to the US in a similar way. How does that look like? What does best practice look like if I was to come to you with that problem?
So there's a few ways you can do it. The big thing is just standing out from the noise. Right, so you're sending it. The first thing I would do is to send over an Audra capture, but not in the standard way. So if I'm speccing a candidate and I've got a candidate here, and there might be a profile, it might be just a resume or CV, whatever it is, Audra capture, I don't think a lot of things allow you to do this in the recruitment model, but you can record not just your camera, but also the screen. Mm. So you can record it with your face on the screen and the screen itself and hover over the CV or resume and say, look, I want to, and it's a personalized, it's got to be personalized for the client. Don't do one video and send it to 50 clients.
Yeah. Should record, I get Gary V in the caption next to me and read it to him?
You should do exactly what you should do. But that's the best way to do it if it's personalized to them. So if you record it, if I was sending you someone, yeah. I found Dougie and he was a really good candidate, yeah. I would have his CV or LinkedIn profile or something that I've got confidence I can present.
Yeah.
Or behind me on the screen, I would press record on capture and I would say, I've got this guy, Dougie Dilta, he's amazing, he's got this, he's got that, he is super for your business because I know that you did this, this, and this. Really, really personal. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow at 3:00. I'm going to talk you through Dougie. Point through the CV, scroll up, point to the next bit. These are the bits that are really good for you. I'm going to call you tomorrow at 3:00, but if that doesn't suit you, let me know. You stop and send it. All of a sudden, when they see that through, they can see it's for them. It's personalised. They press play. The first thing they hear is their name. You're like, what the hell is this? They play it. You talk through that, and there's already a follow-up. I'm coming for you tomorrow at 3:00. If they don't want you to phone, they can let you know. But if they don't let you know, you have the right to phone. They've watched it. You've said, you pick up the phone. Did you get my video? You know you have, because you got the notification. But when you watch the video, did you see the point I was talking about in Dougie's CV? It just changes the dynamic of the conversation.
How many of them would a recruiter get done in a morning? Like what type of numbers, metrics are people working off to make that happen?
If you had the information, so what I would do is go onto the profile, see what your last activity was. So if I'd say you had liked or commented or taken part in a discussion about something, I would just use that and try and make some tedious link to it. So like, oh, I saw that you were commenting on the Trump and Biden campaign. Be good to know your thoughts. I know you're in Georgia. That was a swing state. Be good to know what you think is going to happen. My name's Ryan. I wanted to spec you this candidate. This is Dougie. I wouldn't say spec, but you know what I mean? This is the reasons why I wanted to speak to you. I'm going to call you tomorrow. So if I was doing it that way, I really don't see why you couldn't get 20 of those out in a morning.
Okay.
I mean, that's
and then what the next day then is follow-up is set in for the next day, and that's,
you've got 20 calls. Yeah. You've got 20 calls the next day. And even if you just say tomorrow afternoon, if you're nervous about setting a fixed time and letting them down, I'm going to call you tomorrow afternoon, but if that doesn't suit, let me know. Then you know tomorrow between 12 and 5, I've got 20 calls to make. And you do that every day. Mm-hmm. Morning, night, morning, afternoon. It's simple. And that is the people that make the most money, millions, they log millions of pounds of placements on Odro. Yeah. That is what they do.
There you go. Another question.
Yeah.
Right. I'm getting all the good stuff out of you here now. I'm like, oh, what other problems do I have?
Go to the doctor for that one.
I did Louise Archer's retrained course. It was really good. One of the things that helped me with like really narrowing down our value proposition, who we are, what we do, how we do it. How can we use Odro as part of our retainer pitch in what we'll do?
So it would depend on what you class as a retainer. I class retainer as simply a payment method for me. So if I say this is my retainer option, some people want old school, like a third on assignment, a third on shortlist.
I count it as an engagement fee upfront. And then the rest
on completion. So that's the way I like to work, right? So if I'm saying that, I would say to someone, if your average fee is, let's say 20%, let's say you're working on 20%, and right now, what do you do for your client? So you will go to the market, find CVs, interview them, send over the CVs, loads of interview notes, make sure they're really covered, really comprehensive, come back to the client, ask them to interview everyone, because at the moment on contingent, the more interviews I get, the more chance I have of getting paid. Unfortunately, that means more time spent for the client interviewing as many people as you can because it increases your chance to get paid. It kind of drives the wrong behaviors. So my pitch would then be, Mrs. Client, I can do all the stuff that I would normally do for you for 20%. Or if you'd like, you can give me your top 3 to 5 killer questions that you ask at first stage interview. I can record these. I'll record me asking them those questions. I'll send that recording back to you alongside the CV. So before you've even met anyone, you know what their answers to the first stage questions are. So you're only meeting people who you know have passed that first stage with you. It's going to save you so much time, possibly even half your time to hire, and it won't even cost you any more. It's the exact same price, still 20%, We just ask for a small deposit up front to make sure we can invest in all this extra time for you to know there's something coming, and you pay the rest at the end. Same price.
Done. All right.
That'd be my pitch. That's, if all else fails, I'm going to go back into recruitment.
There we go. Don't do it. No. Wait until the market recovers, hey? People start paying the bloody bills again. That's us, Ryan. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no worries. Good man, that was easy.
Well, look, great stuff, real good information. Lots of stuff I have to go and implement. So we'll have you back again at a later stage.
That's fine. Thanks, man.